We are holding on Dalet Amud Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. We've been discussing the question of how we know that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen who's going to be preparing the Parah Adumah need to be separated from their wives and from their families and put in a chamber in the Beis Hamikdash for 7 days before the respective thing, before the Avodah of Yom Kippur and before burning the Parah Adumah. And we've been discussing how we know that. We had Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and Rabbi Shmuel saying that we learn it from a pasuk about the Miluim. We learn both of them from a pasuk about the Miluim, where Aaron and his sons had to stay for 7 days, Pesach Oyel Moed, and the pasuk then says Lasos and Lachaper, which we said refers to the Parah Adumah and Yom Kippur, respectively. We had Rabbi Yochanan saying that Yom Kippur we learn from there, but Parah Adumah we don't. Parah Adumah is only Drabbanan as one of the milus, one of the extra things that the Chachamim added. As a chumrah, one of the extra chumras that the Chachamim added concerning the Parah Adumah. And then we had Rish Lakish, who says that we don't learn any of them from the pasuk that we're learning, whether the fact that you have to do it before Yom Kippur, we learn from the fact that Moshe had Prisha for 6 days before going up to Har Sinai, because we said Rish Lakish holds, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili in the Braisa that we quoted yesterday, that he had 6 days after Matan Torah, that he was in the cloud before he went lefnai v'lefnim to in front of the Shekhinah and started learning the Torah, and that by Parah again it's Ma'aseh Ba'alma. Now, so in the course of that discussion, we mentioned when Rabbi Yochanan had said that when it comes to Yom Kippur we learn it from the Miluim, Rish Lakish had said to him, in that case, Rabbi Yochanan, wouldn't you have to say that the Prisha is ma'akev, that if the Kohen Gadol did not have that Prisha, then he would be possible to do the Avodah. Just like we find that by the Miluim, anything that it says by the Miluim is ma'akev. And Rabbi Yochanan concedes the point, and he says, okay, so according to you, where would you say that you learn it? And Rish Lakish says, from Har Sinai. So let's revisit that point. Miklal, we see by implication, the Tavayu Svirlu, that both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish hold, Miluim, kolak kosa behen, ma'ak behen. Everything that it says by the Miluim that you have to do is ma'akiv by them. And if they didn't do it, then the Miluim would have been possible. And we see that. And we see that again, because we said, because when Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, "I ma kol akosav ben miluim kol akosav ben ma'akav ben," shouldn't it be the same with Yom Kippur? And in other words, the point was, because we said in the Mishnah that the substitute Kohen Gadol, we said maskinin, we prepare him, but it didn't say mafrishin, that we separate him. So therefore, that implies what happens if the actual Kohen Gadol becomes tamei or posel or what have you, and the substitute has to take over. Then it sounds like he doesn't need the 7 days prisha; he's able to go and do the avodah. So therefore we see that Prisha is not ma'akiv, and again Rabbi Yochanan conceded that point, and he says, okay, so according to you, where would you learn it from? He still continues with his opinion, of course, that we learn from the Miluim, but we see they both agree with that fundamental idea that anything it says by the Miluim is ma'akiv, and the only question is, does that apply to Yom Kippur as well? And in fact, the Itma, we have a machlokas on that subject, Miluim. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina argue about the Miluim. Chad Oma Kol HaKosav Ben Ma'akev Behen. One says, whatever it says in the Pasuk by them is Ma'akev. So any detail that wasn't done, the Miluim would have been possible. But Chad Oma, the other one says, Davar Ma'akev L'Dodas Ma'akev Behen. Only a detail that in Korbanos, in future generations. Now, we don't mean Miluim of future generations necessarily. We mean in general, Korbanos of future generations. Anything that's Ma'akev in the future is Ma'akev over here also. She'ain Ma'akev L'Dodas, ain't Ma'akev Behen. But any detail, and the Gemara is going to go through soon and give several examples of details of the Korbanos, which are supposed to be done, but they're not ma'akiv, then one of them, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, says that it wouldn't be ma'akiv by the Miluim either. Now, which one said which? The Gemara says, Tistayim, we can conclude, that Rabbi Yochanan, who do'omah kol ha'kosav ben ma'akiv behen, that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that whatever it says by, that whatever it says by the Miluim is ma'akiv. Exactly that. Midika omalei Rabbi Shimon Lakish l'Rabbi Yochanan, because at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, we had Rish Lakish saying to Rabbi Yochanan, if you're going to learn the Prisha before Yom Kippur from the Prisha before the Miluim, I ma miluim kol ha'kosav ben ma'akiv behen, If so, then shouldn't you say that just like anything it says by the miluim is ma'akiv, so it is by Yom Kippur, meaning again that the prisha would be ma'akiv, v'loy kamahadolevi v'loy midi, and Rabbi Yechanan does not answer him, so I don't hold that, I don't hold in the first place that anything is ma'akiv. So since he doesn't say that, tistayim, then that allows us to conclude that yes, Rabbi Yechanan, in this machlokas, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yechanan would be the one who says that every detail is ma'akiv, and Rabbi Chanina would be saying that no, only certain details are ma'akiv, only the ones that are ma'akiv in future generations as well. So the Gemara says, "Mai benayu." Okay, so what's a practical nafkamina? What's an example of a detail that's mentioned in connection with miluim, but ledoros is not ma'akiv, and therefore, according to Rabbi Chanina, is not ma'akiv by miluim either? Rabbi Yosef smicha ikke benayu. So Rabbi Yosef says, here's a difference between them. Smicha. Do you have to lean your hands on the head of the animal that's a korban? Now, this is something where when you bring a korban in future generations, also the pasuk says, for example, a person brings an oila, v'samach yodei arosh ha'oila. You should lean his hands on the head of the oila. And again, it mentions it in connection with the miluim. You have, by the way, when it comes to the miluim like this, in Parshas Tetzaveh, in Perek Choftes of Shmois, Hashem gives Moshe the detailed instructions for the 7 days in the Miluim. And then in Parshas Tetzaveh, it tells over again, and it tells how all of that was accomplished. So you have different details that it mentions over there of what Hashem told Moshe to do, and that was eventually done. And among them is Smicha, that Aaron and his sons should do Smicha on certain korbanos that they're bringing over there. If we say, like Rabbi Yechanan, that everything it says by the Miluim is ma'akiv, then smicha ma'akva, then it would mean that smicha is one of those things, even though it's true in the future it's not ma'akiv, as we're going to say soon. If a person brings a korban and does not do smicha, he was missing out part, an important part of the mitzvah, but the korban doesn't actually become possible like that. But according to Rabbi Yechanan, no, by the Miluim, it would actually be, and according to Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, for that matter, if they didn't do smicha by the Miluim, by one of the korbanos, it would have been possible. Lamanda Amad, Davash Ein Ma'ak of the Dirtis, Ein Ma'ak of Behen, as opposed to, according to Rabbi Chanina, if it's only something which is Ma'ak of in future generations, well then, smicha lo Ma'akva, smicha is not Ma'ak of. And therefore, so if they hadn't done smicha, it still would have been kosher. Tosfos discusses over here that on the face of it, the Gemara is going to go through several examples over here, but one of the examples Tosfos says on the face of it, it could have mentioned that a difference of shirayim, we say every day in Ezer Mokemin, shira adama yeshofich, al yisoy droimi or maravi, as the case may be, im loy nosa and loy yiktiv, if you didn't do it, then you're not ma'akiv. And yet by the Miluim, it says to pour the Shirayim. So Tosfos gets into a discussion that maybe everybody would agree over here that the Shirayim are not ma'akiv. Actually, later on in the Masechta, we're actually going to get into a discussion when it comes to Yom Kippur, when it comes to the Korbanos with the par and the Sawyer, whether the Shirayim are in fact ma'akiv against what we say in Ezer Mokomen. We'll get to that later in the Masechta. Anyway, Tosfos Yeshonim points out another one. What about burning the pieces of the korbanos? That the Gemara doesn't even bother mentioning, because during the first 7 days, Aaron and his sons weren't doing that, or if they were, they're not doing it as kohenim, they're doing it as practice. It's Moshe who's actually doing the avodah of the korbanos during the 7 days. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Ulodoris Manolon de la Ma'akva. Okay, so that means, in other words, you're saying that smicha is not ma'akiv by korbanos in future generations. Where do you know that from? So Tanya, like this, we learn in a brisa. The pasuk says v'samach v'nirtza. The pasuk describes by a korban oila that he should do smicha, and it will be accepted that he'll have his kapara with the korban. So the question is, the word v'nirtza implies the kapara. Like we had in Pesachim, for example, we had the discussion over there about ritzui tzitz. What happens if there's reason that a korban would have been possible, for example, because we said it became tamei, and the tzitz nevertheless makes it acceptable, and that the kapara works. So if we're saying v'samach and then v'nirtza, does that mean v'chismicha mechaperes? You're telling me the smicha is what accomplishes the kapara? V'alayin kapara el abadam. The kapara is accomplished only with the blood. Only when you actually apply the blood of the korban to the mizbeach does the kapara take place. Smicha is before you even shech the korban. Shenema ki adamu ba nefesh chaper. The pasuk says elsewhere and in Achimos that the blood is what the blood is the soul of the animal, and that's what accomplishes the kapara. So why are we using the word v'sama? So why are we saying v'samach and then saying on it v'nirtza? Means like this: if he treats the smicha as shiore mitzvah, he treats it as like a leftover thing of the mitzvah. He says it's not important enough to bother doing. So he does, he brings the carbon, but he doesn't bother doing smicha on it. Mala all of our kosev keilu lekiper. The pasuk considers it as if he did not make kapara, meaning that it wasn't a mitzvah and a muvchu. He didn't do the mitzvah in the best possible way, the kippur, but nevertheless, in fact, he was actually mechaper. So he did the mitzvah, but he didn't do the mitzvah in a way that's min hamuvchu. So therefore, the pasuk, in other words, the pasuk is putting the word v'nirtza, though, to stress the importance of smicha, but not to stress that it has to be done, and if not for it, then the korban is possible, just to stress that it's a very essential part of the mitzvah. Tosfos Yeshanim over here brings from the Gemara in Zvachim that explains it a bit differently. What it is now, why would a person be bringing an Ola in the first place? So the Gemara in Zvachim tells us that one reason a person might bring an Ola, and a person can bring an Ola completely voluntarily, but one reason a person might decide to bring it is if they missed out on a mitzvah taseh. So let's say, for example, you had, you know, yesterday a person forgot to put on tefillin, or a person didn't say Krishna in time or whatever. So he might, you know, to feel bad about it and to make that Hashem should, that he should be on good terms, so to speak, with Hashem again, he might want to bring an Ola. The Alter Rebbe brings this concept in Negeres HaTshuva, in Perek Beis, that you have in order that he should be Ovechaviv, that he should be just as beloved to Hashem as before, despite the fact that he missed out a mitzvah saseh and didn't bring down a certain Ola into the world. So therefore he'd bring a carbon Ola to make up for that. He's not required to, but he could if he wants to, if he feels that kind of sensitivity. Now, the Gemara discusses over there then that one Ola can cover a bunch of mitzvah saseh. The Alter Rebbe again brings it over there in Tanya in connection with the question when a person is fasting. Now, when it says in various things from Kisvei HaArizal and later generations about that you're supposed to fast X number of fasts for doing a certain Avera, would you have to repeat that depending on the number of times you did the Avera or not? Do we say it's like an Ola, where let's say you could have a person didn't put on tefillin for a week, and still they can bring one Ola, and it'll cover all of it, or would we say it's like a chatas, like a person eats chalev every day for a week, they have to bring a bunch of chatos. Anyway, the Gemara discusses over there, though, that the korban is only going to cover esses that are up to the things that he was over on an esse, up to the shchita. So if let's say, you know, again, for 3 days in a row, let's say he didn't put on tefillin. So now when he's bringing the oila, it's going to be mechaper for all those three, but not for any esses that take place after the shchita. So then the point is that you would think smicha takes place before the shchita. So if he missed out smicha, then maybe the korban should cover that as well. And we're saying that no, the pasuk is telling us that the smicha is considered almost as if it was something after the shchita, even though physically it takes place before the shchita. And therefore, that no, if he brings an ola and doesn't do smicha, then it's not covering him for that particular esser of missing out smicha. So therefore, in other words, if he then feels that he has to bring a korban ola to cover every esse that he's been over, then he's going to have to bring a separate ola to cover that particular esse that he missed. That's one way that Tosfos Yeshanim brings from the Gemara over there. The other thing is the Gemara just means over there is that what the Gemara means over here is that smicha is such a major thing that if a person doesn't do it, it's like sort of like Rashi says, he missed out a major mitzvah saseh, as if it affects the whole kashrus of the korban. But the fact is it doesn't. Okay, whatever the case, those are the various explanations. So therefore we see, at any rate, according to all these different explanations, that the smicha is not in fact ma'akiv. So again, a person brings an ola, then, and he doesn't do smicha, it's not ma'akiv, the korban is still kosher. At most, we might say maybe in the future he has to bring another ola to cover the fact that he missed that mitzvah saseh, but this particular ola that he's bringing for the fact that, let's say, he didn't put on tefillin, is definitely a valid ola, with everything that implies. So therefore, Rav Chanina is going to say, if smicha is not ma'akiv in future generations, then it's not ma'akiv by the miluim either. Whereas Rav Yechanan would disagree. Okay. Next, Rab Nachman Yitzchak Amar. Rab Nachman Yitzchak says, here's a different one. Now, they're not actually arguing with each other. Each one, each of these Amiroyim is bringing a different example of something where it's not Ma'akiv in future generations, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, it is Ma'akiv by the Milurim, and according to Rabbi Chanina, it's not. So Rab Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Tnufa Ike Benayu. A Nafkamina between them would be as far as Tnufa, where the Torah tells us you have to wave certain parts of the korban by the Milurim they had, by in the future, by a Shlomim, when a person brings the ram of a Nazir, a Torah, different ones like that. You have to wave certain parts of the animal. So again, Lamanda Omar Kol HaKosaben Ma'akabahen. If we say that anything that it says by the Milurim is ma'akiv, and if they don't do it, the milurim is possible, then ma'akiv, then that shnufa is going to be ma'akiv. Ulamanda Oma, but according to the Chanina, Dava Shein ma'akiv l'doris, Ein ma'akiv behen, that anything that's not ma'akiv in future generations is not ma'akiv now either by the milurim, loy ma'akiv, then shnufa is not going to be ma'akiv, because as we're going to establish now, shnufa is not ma'akiv in future generations, if you didn't do it. So again, the question is, l'doris menolon loy ma'akiv, so where do we see that in future generations, shnufa is not ma'akiv? The Tanya, like this, because we learn in a Braisa, similar to what we said about Smicha, L'tnufa l'chaper, the Pasuk describes that you have to bring the Pasuk describes in this week's parasha actually by the Karbonus of the Metzora, that he takes if it's poor, for example, he brings one sheep and two birds as a korban, and the sheep, it says, l'snufa, he brings it for waving, l'chaper, in order to accomplish kapara for himself. Again, you have to ask, p'chitnufa m'chaperas, the tnufa is not what accomplishes the kapara. The tnufa is taking place, the tnufa is taking place after the korban is shechted, There are some karbonos where the tnufa takes place after the korban is shechted and the blood is sprinkled, and then there are other ones where the tnufa actually takes place while the animal is alive. So before you shecht it. In any case, the tnufa is not what accomplishes the kapara. V'aloi ain't kapara el abadam. Again, kapara is accomplished only with the blood of the animal. Shenema ki adamu v'nefesh echaper. Uma tamad lemu l'snufa l'chaper. So why does the Pasuk mention kapara in connection with the tnufa? Same idea. Shema sol the tnufa shori mitzvah. If he treats the tnufa as the leftovers of the mitzvah, something, a detail that's not important for me to do, ma'alala v'kosef ki ilu le'kipir, the Pasuk counts it in a certain sense as if he didn't accomplish the kapara. In other words, that he missed out a major part of the mitzvah, and nevertheless, he didn't do it, mitzvah namuchah, nevertheless, he did accomplish kapara, because the fact is the blood was applied to the mizbeach in the right way. So again, there you have an example of something which is not ma'akiv in future generations, but it's ma'akiv here by the milurim. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina are going to be arguing about that. Rapapa says, here's a third one. Prishas Shiva Ikabinayu. A nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina would be about the Prishas Shiva, about the, does the Koyan need to be sequestered for 7 days, like we've been discussing. Lamanda Omakolakos Taban Ma'akabahan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it says by the Miluim that the Koyanim should be for 7 days Pesach Oyomoid. Therefore, it's Ma'akiv. By the Miluim, and if they hadn't been there, it would have been possible. Whereas according to Rav Chanina, it's not ma'akiv in future generations, therefore it's not ma'akiv now either. And so where do we see that in future generations it's not ma'akiv? So the answer is mitkatoni maskin and vlaikatoni mafrishin. Again, like we said before in Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish's discussion, that when it came to the Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah used the word mafrishin, that we separate him. But by the substitute, by the understudy, we said that instead only maskinin, we prepare him, we fit him for clothes, we tell him to be careful, to stay away from tumah, maybe we train him a little bit in the avodah, etc. But we don't actually separate him from his house and from his family and put in, and even according to what we said, there was some mafoshim who say that maybe we do tell him to stay away from his wife so he doesn't become tumah, but we don't actually put him in a separate chamber in the Beis HaMikdash. And again, the point is, should it happen on Yom Kippur that the Kohen becomes Tomei or otherwise unavailable, then this understudy is going to take over and he's going to do the Avodah even though he didn't have Prishas Shiva. So we see that Prishas Shiva is now Ma'akiv. Therefore, Rav Chanina says, even by the original Miluim, it wasn't Ma'akiv either. They don't have the Prisha, doesn't matter. By the way, I mean, you know, something you might wonder about, which the Gemara actually is going to ask in a bit of a different context on Omud Beis, is why is it important for us to know that? May to have a haver. It's a done thing. The Milurim by the Mishkan were one time in history. So why is it important for us to know what's Ma'akav by it and what's not? The Gemara is going to ask a similar question in connection with something else on Omud Beis. So the fact is, there were Milurim each time that there was a new Mishkan or Beis Hamikdash. There were Milurim when they built the first Beis Hamikdash. There were Milurim when they built the second one. There will be B'mheir of Yameinu Mamash Milurim when the third one is built. And to a certain extent, we learn the dinim of one from the other. So therefore, this discussion is actually Negea. It's Hilchos of a Mashiach. It's a halacha for Mashiach's time. It's fine. It's not necessarily something that we need to paskin now. But it is something that we need to discuss in order to figure out when it comes to the Miluim for the third Beis Hamikdash, what is and isn't going to be Ma'akev. Okay. So far we have three. We have Rabbi Yosef had said Smicha, Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok had said Tnufa, Rabbi Papa Omer had said Prisha. Again, they're not arguing. Each one is mentioning another example of something which is Ma'akev, which is not Ma'akev in future generations. And the question is it Ma'akev by the Miluim as well? Ravina Omar. Ravina says he was a fourth one. Ribui Shiva or Mashicha Shiva Ikebenayu. Another nafgamina between them is as far as Ribui and Mashicha for 7 days. How does a person become Kohen Gadol? A person was up until now a Kohen head, yet now he becomes Kohen Gadol. Leaving aside the question of, let's say, if the original Kohen dies or becomes possible or whatever on Yom Kippur and the understudy has to take over. We're going to discuss later on Daf Yud Beis or Yud Gimel or so, what happens, how that person becomes Kohen Gadol. But under normal circumstances, the previous Kohen Gadol passed away, a new Kohen Gadol is being appointed, let's say. What makes him Kohen Gadol with all the dinim that apply to him? So there's two things. There's anointing him with the Shemen HaMishka, which we Aaron and his sons originally were anointed with the Shemen HaMishka, and we learned in Shkolim that every Kohen Gadol after that also is supposed to be anointed with the Shemen HaMishka, unlike kings, where we said that once a king was anointed, his son doesn't necessarily have to be anointed unless there was Machloikas, as we had in the example of Shlomo and a couple of other examples. But the Kohen Gadol every time has to be anointed. Now, that existed throughout most of the time until close to the end of the first Beis Hamikdash. Again, we learned in Shkolim that about 30 years before the Churban Bayis Tishrei, Yoshiyahu had hidden away the Aron. We had a Machlokas over there where it was hidden or whether it eventually was found and taken to Bavel, whatever it was. Anyway, he hid away the Aron. Together with it, he hid away several other things, one of them being the Shemen HaMishka. So up until that point, the Kohenim Gdolim were appointed by being anointed with Shemen HaMishka. The other thing is, the other thing for a Kohen Gadol is called Ribui. Ribui Begodim, it's called in full, which means that he wears the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol. Rashi learns that it's Beshas Avoda, the Rambam rather learns it doesn't necessarily have to be Beshas Avoda. It could just be that he wears them a certain amount of time every day. Whatever the case, there is that. So originally the idea was that the Kohen Gadol would do both. He would be anointed with Shemen HaMishka and he would wear the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. Afterwards, after the Shemen HaMishka was hidden away, so the last 30 or so years of Bayis Rishon and all of Bayis Sheni, since they didn't have the Shemen HaMishka, the Kohenim Gadolim were appointed only with Ribui Begadim, only by wearing the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol. For the most part, there's no difference between them. Both kinds of Kohenim Gdolim are able to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur, for example. The Mishnah in Megillah mentions that a difference between them is just as far as the Par HaBoah Kol HaMitzvahs, the special korban that a Kohen Gadol brings if he made a mistake in Halacha, And then acted according to that. So only a Kohen Mashuach, only one who was anointed with the Shemen HaMishka brings that korban. A Kohen who was only Merubah Begadim, a Kohen Gadol who was only Merubah Begadim, doesn't bring that. He brings a regular Chatas like anybody else would. But other than that, there's basically no difference. So now, again, it mentions the Ribui and it mentions the Mashicha in connection with the Miluim. Is that Ma'akiv in future generations? Is it, if a Kohen Gadol is going to serve on Yom Kippur without having those, is his avodah kosher or not? So Lamanda Omer Kolakasa ben Ma'akiv ben Ma'akva. According to Rabbi Yochanan, since it says by the Miluim, it says the Mashicha and it says the Ribui, then it would be Ma'akiv if it wasn't done. If it wasn't done, then he can't do the avodah. That's something that's not ma'akev in future generations. It's not ma'akev now either. Loi ma'akev, then it's not going to be ma'akev. So where do we see that in future generations it's not ma'akev? This ribui, well, we don't say, now I should say, we didn't say ribui and mashicha at all. We said ribui shiva or mashicha shiva, that each of them needs to be done for 7 days. Now we're going to show now that lodertus, you don't need both of them for 7 days. By the miluim, they had each of them, each day Aaron was anointed, as we're going to say soon. And each day Aaron wore the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. So now in future generations, you don't necessarily need all of them for 7 days. So D'tanya, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says at the end of the description of the Avodah, V'chiper HaKohen Asher Yimshach of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, it says V'chiper HaKohen Asher Yimshach Oisai, the Kohen who was anointed should do the Kapara of Yom Kippur, V'asher Yimala Yisyadai, and whose hands are filled, meaning is inaugurated. Rashi mentions in a few places in Chumash that the word milui yadayim is an expression, literally it means filling the hands, but it means inaugurating somebody into a new office. Rashi mentions in some places that, for example, in his times, when somebody was inaugurated into, let's say, for example, as a new governor or what have you, they would give him a glove, and that was symbolically like they're giving him authority. They're putting that in his hand, and symbolically, therefore, he's getting that authority. So the same thing, by the Kohenim, milu yadayim means inaugurating, that means doing something to demonstrate that they now have this new office. So the Pasuk mentions that he's anointed and that Yamala Yasyadi, Lachahin Tachas Aviv, to serve as Kohen Gadol instead of his father. So Matam and Loima, what are we learning from that Pasuk? Is it just showing us that the Avodah of Yom Kippur has to be done by the Kohen Gadol? Right there at the beginning of the parasha, it says that Aaron should do it. And when it says that Aaron should do it, it has to imply the Kohen Gadol. Otherwise, it would say, like it does in throughout parashas Vayikra and Sav, it always says Bnei Aaron, a Kohenim, or Aaron Uvanov, or whatever. And it means, therefore, that whether a Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hedyot is kosher to do it. By Yom Kippur, by the beginning of Achrimos, it says specifically, Daber el Aaron. So it means Aaron and any Kohen Gadol who succeeds him. So we know already that only the Kohen Gadol can do the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So what is this last pasuk over there adding when it says that the Kohen who was anointed and who is inaugurated should be a Kohen instead should do the Avodah? What are we learning from that pasuk? So like this, Lafish and Namar, you have a different pasuk says Shivas Yamim Yoboshamaka earlier in Parashas Tetzaveh, when it says the instructions of the Miluim, it says Shivas Yamim Yoboshamakoyan Tachta Mibonov. For 7 days, the Kohen Gadol who takes over for Aaron from his sons should wear the 8 big dekorna, the 8 big dekorn Gadol. So Ainli Elenis, so it says 7 days. Ainli Elenis Rabba Shiva Benim Shach Shiva. So from that, you would only know what makes the person a Kohen Gadol only if he wore the clothes of the Kohen Gadol for 7 days in succession, Benim Shach Shiva, and he was anointed, and according to Rashi, he actually does the Avodah in those Brodim, Benim Shach Shiva, and he's anointed for 7 days. How do we know Nisra? What about if the ribui begodim was done for 7 days and the meshicha was done only one time on one day, or the other way around? If the ribui begodim took place only one time and the meshicha was done 7 days in succession, and there's actually a different girsa that says that how do we know it would apply even if both of them were only one day? And there's a different girsa that some Rishonim have. How do we know that even if each of them was only one day, or even shah achas, even a short amount of time? Rashi says, I feel a shah achas, like a sinan, he doesn't accept that girsa, but apparently he would accept the part of the girsa that says that it could even be that it was one day of each. So how do we know that those are kosher minayin? How do we know that it's still kosher for the avodah? Tamad loima, therefore, the pasuk says, Asher yimshach oisav, asher yimala yasyadei, that he's anointed. And without saying, at the end of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, when it says that he's anointed, it doesn't say for how many days, and that his hands are filled. Again, it doesn't say for how many days. So that means regardless, as long as he was anointed, or as long as his hands were filled for any amount of time, then it's enough to make him kosher, as Kohen Gadol. So therefore you see that in the future, then in future generations, you don't need Meshicha for 7 days. You don't need Ribui for 7 days. Each of them is kosher, even if it was only for one day. So therefore, so that's an example again of something that's ma'akev that's an example of something that says by the miluim, it's not ma'akev for future generations, but is it ma'akev by the miluim? Rabbi Yechonon will say yes, Rabbi Chanina will say no. And later on, by the way, on Daf Yud Beis, we're going to revisit this thing in connection with, again, the understudy, the substitute Kohen Gadol. If he has to take over, what exactly makes him Kohen Gadol? And we're going to discuss there, Avodasim Chanachto, the very fact that he starts doing the Avodah as Kohen Gadol makes him Kohen Gadol. So that means, in other words, that you don't even necessarily, again, fitting with what our Gemara is saying over here, that you don't even need the Ribui Begadim to be for any amount of time. As long as he does it, as long as he's doing it one time, he puts on the clothes of the Kohen, and that makes him the Kohen Gadol. So you have that. The Pnei Yeshua actually over here discusses, in connection with our Gemara, it actually has to do with this girsa on the side of it here. Do we say that Yom Echad and Yom Echad is good, or do we need that at least one of them? Do we need that at least normally in the case of a regular Kohen Gadol, not where he has to step in the middle of Yom Kippur, do we in fact need either Meshicha Shiva or Ribui Shiva? We may not need both of them, but do we at least need one of them, or is it enough to have each of them only for one day? Okay. Anyway, the point is, So that's an example of something which is not ma'akiv l'doris, and the question is it ma'akiv by the miluim? So the question is, ashkechon ribui shiva l'chatchila. Okay, well then let's analyze that a second. We see that there's supposed to be ribui for 7 days, l'chatchila, because the pasuk in Tetzaveh had mentioned that for 7 days the Kohen should wear the clothes, the new Kohen Gadol should wear the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. So we see that l'chatchila it's supposed to be for 7 days. We're saying only b'dieved, if it's done for only 1 day, is it kosher. Meshicha shiva l'chatchila menolon. Where do we see that the meshicha l'chatchila is supposed to be for 7 days in succession? It says by the miluim that Moshe anointed Aaron and his sons, but it doesn't say they did it each day for 7 days. So the answer is two answers. Iboris Ema, one possibility, midi itzrich krol ma'ota, exactly that. Since the pasuk needs to be memayit, that you don't need 7 days of mashicha, that implies that there was mashicha for 7 days. And l'chatchila, that's how it's supposed to be. And the question is only b'dieved. That's one answer. Another possibility is back to back. The previous pasuk before Shivas Yom Yobasham says the clothes of the Kohen, the holy clothes that belong to Aaron, Yul of Onavachrav, should be for his sons after him, Lamoshchav Vahem, to be anointed with them, or Lamalev Amas Yodam, and to fill their hands, to inaugurate them. Now, the word Lamoshcha doesn't necessarily have to mean Meshicha as an anointing. The word Lamoshcha on the pasuk over there, Rashi and some of the other Mephoshim mention that on a simple sense, Lamoshcha can mean to make them great. But the Gemara over here is understanding it in Meloshin Meshicha. So therefore, Itkash Meshicha L'Riboy. So we see that we have a hekesh between, Meshicha, between anointing with Shemana Mishra, and Riboy putting on the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, So, ma ribui shiva, just like the ribui took place for 7 days in succession, af meshicha shiva, the same way the meshicha also took place for 7 days in succession, and that's l'chatchila way to do it. And then the question is, if they didn't do it by the miluim, would it have passed the miluim or not? So we have four examples of things. We have four examples of things where Rabbi Yechonon and Rabbi Chanina would argue. The Cheshek Shloima, Rav Shloima Kluger, has an interesting vote on it. He says, if you look at the names of these Amiroim and the details that they mention, each of them, the detail relates to their name somehow. Rabbi Yosef said Smicha is an example. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak said Tnufa. Rav Papa had said Prisha. And Ravina had said Ribui. So again, we're not arguing. Each one is just giving a different example, but each of them gave an example that has an affinity to him that actually has one of its primary letters is a primary letter of his own name. Okay. The Gemara says, fine. It's easy enough to understand Rav Chanina's opinion that if something, smicha or prisha or what have you, is not ma'akev in future generations, then it's not ma'akev by the miluim either. Fine, we can understand that. But my time and demand omer kol hakasaban ma'akev. But why would Rabbi Yochanan be saying that even though something is not ma'akev in the future, nevertheless that same thing is ma'akev by the miluim? What's the logic? Omer Yitzchak Babisna. Omakura, because the Pasuk says, for Osisal Aaron Levon of Kocha, the Pasuk says you should do for Aaron and his sons like this. And the word Kocha means Ikovahu. That means that it's Ma'akiv. So every detail is Ma'akiv. Usually, by the way, we have the rule when it comes to Kobanas, Shona Olawa Kosov La'akiv. Only if the Pasuk repeats something, is it Ma'akiv. And in fact, there are some things that are the other way around. Where, for example, Smicha repeats it more than once in the Torah. Tosfos Yeshanim points out that it repeats more than once in the Torah Smicha, and nevertheless we say it's not ma'akev. But generally, the rule with Kodshim is anything that says twice is ma'akev. Anything that says that it doesn't say twice is not ma'akev. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan is saying fine. But the fact that it says that you should do kocha means exactly like this means that every detail is ma'akev. The word kocha implies it has to be done exactly like that. Okay, the Gemara says, Tenach kol milsa deksiva b'hayin yonah. Okay, then that covers everything that it says in that connection, meaning in Parshas Tetzave. And specifically, we don't mean in the whole Parshas Tetzave, but in the section of Parshas Tetzave, Perek Choftes, which deals with the dinim, with what's to be done during the miluim. Again, you have like this Parshas Tetzave. Well, Parshas Tetzave begins with about the Shemen Amishcha, and then it continues with the clothes of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hediot. After that, though, Perek Choftes is a new section within Parashat Tetzaveh, which begins with dealing with the Miluim. The Hashem says to Moshe the detailed instructions for the 7 days of the Miluim. So, and later on in that Perek, it says this Pasuk V'asisa La'aron Levon of Kocha. So fine, anything that it says in that Perek Choftes that has to be done, then fine. It says afterwards kocha, so therefore it's going to be ma'akiv. Milsa deloy ksiva b'hayin yonah. But what about you have details that it doesn't mention in that connection, but it does mention them in Tzav when Moshe actually did the miluim, minolon. How do we know, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that those things would be ma'akiv? Now, what is an example of that? Rashi says we're talking about putting in the Urim v'tumim into the choshen. In Parshas Tetzaveh, now earlier in Parshas Tetzaveh, it mentions the Urim Betumim, but that's in a different section within Tetzaveh where it's dealing with the clothes of the Kohenim. So it says that when you're making the Choshen, put the Urim Betumim into it. Later on, though, when Hashem is giving Moshe instructions for the Miluim, Hashem doesn't say to Moshe, dress Aaron and his sons in the clothes and place the Urim Betumim in the Choshen. But on the other hand, in Parashas Tzav, when it describes what Moshe actually did, it says that he put the choshen on Aaron and he placed in it the Urim V'Tumim. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, how would we know that if you didn't put in the Urim V'Tumim by the Miluim, that it would have been possible? Now, by the way, in this connection, you have, there's a big machlokes rishonim, what exactly the Urim V'Tumim are. The usual thing we learn as kids is, Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, is the Urim V'Tumim were names of Hashem that were written on paper or parchment or whatever that were placed inside the fold of the Choshen. And it worked. We know that the Choshen, we're going to learn later on in Or Masechta, in Daf Ayin Beis, Ayin Gimel, about how you could ask the Urim V'Tumim for instructions from Hashem and letters on the stones would light up. So to speak, like a battery operated thing where you need a power source to make it work, and the shame of Hashem is like a battery that makes it work. So now the question is, the Rambam, for example, holds that based on this Gemara over here, that the Urim V'Tumim are in fact essential to the Avodah. If you don't have Urim V'Tumim in the Choshen, then it's possible. And so the Rambam learns that they made Urim V'Tumim in, now what happened was we learned in Shkolim that the, and actually we're going to learn at the end of this Perek that in the second Beis Hamikdash, they were missing several things, one of them being the Urim V'Tumim. So what does that mean? Does it mean they were missing it altogether, or does it mean that they had it, but it didn't work? The Rambam learns that it means that you have to have an Urim V'Tumim. The Choshen is incomplete without it, and therefore, if you don't have the Urim V'Tumim between the folds of the Choshen, it's possible. So the Rambam says what it means is during the second Beis Hamikdash, they had to make an Urim V'Tumim. They had to take another piece of parchment and write on it the name of Hashem, like Moshe did, but since it didn't have the Kedusha of the one that Moshe wrote, therefore it didn't make the Choshen work. So the Choshen wouldn't in fact light up, but they had to have that piece of parchment in there, otherwise it would be possible. On the other hand, the Ravid, I think, disagrees with it over there and says that no, not necessarily. As long as you have the actual outside of the Choshen, the actual woven material and the gold settings and the stones on it, then it's kosher even without that parchment inside. And then you have, by the way, a different understanding. They have an Ezra and some other Mephoshim on the Pasuk learn that the stones themselves are called the Urim V'Tumim. Anyway, again, the point is that in Parshas Tetzaveh, it doesn't say anything about the in the section about the Miluim. It doesn't say anything about the Urim V'Tumim. It only mentions it earlier in Parshas Tetzaveh in a different section, which is not relevant for our purpose. But in Parshas Tetzaveh, it mentions that Moshe placed the Urim V'Tumim in. So is that ma'akev or not? You can't say it's ma'akev because it's kocha, but it doesn't say kocha in Parshas Tetzaveh. So where would we know, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that even that detail is ma'akev? So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Yalef Pesach Pesach. So anyway, I should say that's all according to Rashi, that the difference is the Urim B'Tumim. There's a couple of Achronim that have a problem with that explanation. One of them being, again, because it seems that because of course the Kohen Gadol has to have all the begodim, and everything that's needed for the begodim to be kosher needs to be there. Obviously, he can't do the avoda if he's missing some of the begodim. And according to the Rambam, for example, the Urim V'Tumim are an essential part of the Choshen. So rather, some of the Achronim explain that what we're talking about, something that it doesn't say in that connection, but it does say in Parshas Tzav, is again the Prisha. It doesn't say in Parshas Tzav that they need to stay by Pesach Oyel Moed for 7 days, but it does say in Parshas Tzav that Moshe tells them to do that. So again, the question is, do we say that's Ma'akev or not? It doesn't say Kocha in Parshas Tzav. So the answer is Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok Yalef Pesach Pesach. Okay, but we make a Gzeira Shava on the word Pesach Oyel Moed. When in Parshas Tetzaveh, when Moshe is giving the instructions, it says that they have to bring the Korbanos El Pesach Oyel Moed. In Parshas Tzav, when it says how they actually do it, it also says that they brought the Korbanos to Pesach Oyel Moed. In fact, there's a number of times in both those places where it says Pesach Oyel Moed. So therefore, Reb Nachman Yitzchok says, we have a Gzeira Shava on the word Pesach, and therefore that teaches us that not only the details in Tetzaveh, but also the details in Tzav are on the same level, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, both of them are going to be ma'akev. Rav Mesharshi says a different thing. In Tzav, it's true, it doesn't say the word kocha, but it says, Ushmartim es mishmenes Hashem. It says you should guard the guarding of Hashem. That means you need to guard every detail that's written. Therefore, ikuva, that says Rav Mesharshi, also means that it's ma'akev if they missed out a detail. Rav Ashi refers to a different pasuk later on in Parshas Shmini. Here it's at the end of it says a few times in these pasukim Tzivesi and Suvesi, but here we're talking about at the end of that same pasuk in Parshas Tzav, it says with the same this the beginning of the Rav Mesharshi brought an earlier part of the pasuk Shmartim as Mishmaris Hashem. Rav Ashi brings the end of the same pasuk Ki Chen Suvesi. This is what I was commanded, again implying ikuva, again implying that it's ma'akiv. You have to do everything according to what I was commanded, otherwise it's ma'akiv. So three different ways of understanding how even a detail that it says in Tzav, according to Rashi, the Urim V'Tumim, according to the Gvura Sari and others, the Prisha is going to be ma'akev by the Miluim, and is going to be ma'akev by the Miluim, well, according to Rabbi Yochanan anyway, and that's that. Okay. Since we mentioned that pasuk ki chen suvesi, so the Gemara digresses a little bit to talk about. Now you have that word ki chen suvesi at the end of Parshas Tzav. Then you have later on in Shmini, when it describes the avoda, when it describes what happened on the eighth day, three times in Pesukim, fairly close together, it says Moshe uses the expression kasher tzivesi or kasher tzuvesi or kasher tziva Hashem. You have like this in Parshas Shmini. You have the story over there where, after Nadav and Avihu passed away, Moshe tells Aaron and Elazar and Isamar to take the korbanos and eat them. Don't worry about the fact that you're owning them. You're still required to eat them. Then Moshe comes and finds that one of the korbanos was burnt. We learned in Pesachim. It was on the pasuk. Rashi says it was the sor of Rosh Chodesh. In Pesachim, Rashi says maybe the possibility it was the sor of Nachshon. Whatever it was, they burnt it. Moshe is upset with them. Why'd you burn it? Nothing went wrong with it. And Aaron explains to him that there's a difference between Kodshei Shah and Kodshei Dodas. In those psukim, three times Moshe says to Aaron and his sons, he uses an expression, Kichen Tzuvesi, that I was commanded, or Kashet Tzivesi, as I commanded you, or Kashet Tziva Hashem, as Hashem commanded. Now, why do we need, what's the three expressions? Tananaban, Kichen Tzuvesi, Kashet Tzivesi, Kashet Tziva Hashem. Why do we need three times that it says this? So it means ki chen suve. See, the first one when he says I was commanded like this, meaning baninu siichluha, meaning even though you're oinanim because not of an avir just passed away, and normally that would make you possible, even the kohen gadol would not be able to eat korbanos when he's oinan. Nevertheless, in this case, I was commanded that it's an exception to the rule, and you should do that. The second one, kashet sivesi, when he says that as I commanded you, means b'shas ma'isa omalahem, means he's telling it to them at the time when he finds that they burnt one of the seirim. He's saying to them, "What'd you do? What'd you do? I commanded you that you should eat it." So that b'shas ma'isa omalahem means he's telling them on the spot when he sees that they'd done what he thought was wrong until Aaron convinced him otherwise. Then he's saying, "Why'd you do this when I specifically commanded you the other way around?" And the third one, a few psukim earlier, kashet sivu Hashem, when it says as Hashem commanded, meaning v'loy me'elai ani omer, don't think I'm just saying it on my own. Go ahead and eat it as oinanim. Don't do like you did with that chatas and burn it. Eat the rest of them. Now, Rashi points out, based on the Gemara and based on Rashi mentions on the pasuk, that in fact Moshe had forgotten a detail over there, that there's a difference between Kodshe Shah and Kodshe Dodas, and therefore, in fact, that the sword of Rosh Chodesh was not to be eaten because it's Kodshe Dodas. It's okay, you don't eat the one this month, there'll be another one next month, as opposed to the sword of Nachshon and the sword of the Miluim, there's never going to be another one exactly like them again. And Aaron pointed that out to Moshe, and Moshe was convinced by that. But still, Moshe is telling them that other than that, though, continue to eat all these korbanos, kashet siva Hashem, as Hashem commanded. Don't think I'm telling you it on my own. Tosfos Yeshanim explains, in other words, that we have an example over here of Ein Mukdumum Ucha BaTorah. The psukim where Moshe is telling them to eat the mincha and to eat the other korbanos are written before it says that Moshe found they burnt the sor. But actually, Tosfos Yeshanim learns those took place after it. So Moshe is telling them like this: it's true, when it comes to the sor of Rosh Chodesh, I made a mistake. I told you should eat it, and you're right, Aaron. You pointed out to me that I'd forgotten the difference between Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Dodas. Now you're wondering then, in that case, what about what I'm telling you to eat the rest of the korbanos? Am I also maybe making a mistake, and I'm going to have to correct it afterwards? No, when it comes to the rest of them, definitely, kashet tziva Hashem, this is what Hashem commanded, or ki chen suvesi, this is what I was commanded by Hashem, that you should do it. Don't think that this one is one that I figured out on my own, and it might be I made a mistake. This one is one that I'm telling you directly from Hashem. Okay. Going back now to the clothes of the Kohenim. Now we know the regular Kohenim we know wore four pieces of clothing. The Kohen Gadol wore eight. One of the pieces of clothing that they had in common was they both wore michnasayim. They both wore the michnasayim are like pants or drawers or whatever you want to call them. They were shaped sort of like a bathing suit. They were shaped sort of like a baggy bathing suit, and they wore them under their clothes. So Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, michnasayim ein ksuvim b'parsha. If we look at in Parshas Tzav, or in both places, in Tetzava and in Perek Chof Tes of Tetzava, and in the instruction, and in telling how it was actually done in Parashat Tzav, in neither place does it say that Moshe put the Mechnasayim on the Kohen. So maybe they don't need to wear them. Maybe they're avoided as kosher without Mechnasayim, as long as they're wearing everything else. No, Kshu Omer, V'zeh HaDavar, Shatas Alehem, L'Kadosh Oysim L'Chayim, since the Pasuk says at the beginning of the section in Tetzaveh, in the beginning of Perek Chof Tes, when it gives the instructions, it says, and this is the matter that you should do for them to make them holy, L'Chayim, to serve as korbanos. That means L'Hovi HaMichnasayim, that comes to include the Michnasayim, which are described in the Pesukim right before that. So in other words, Vav Moisif Al-Inyan Rishin, the Vav adds that what we said before also applies over here. So that means, in other words, that the michnasayim are also essential. And also, the vav includes vasira seifa. It also includes that the kohenim have to bring the minchas chinuch on the day that they first start serving as kohenim. We learn that from the vav of vizet. So the Gemara says, one second, the Mechnasayim, sure, it says right before the section about the instructions for the 7 days of Miluim, it mentions the Bigdei Kohuna. The last one it mentions is the Mechnasayim. Then it says Vizeh. So, okay, it means we're adding to what we said before. You should know that all of them, Mechnasayim included, are all essential for the Avodah to be kosher. Ela Asir Se'efa Menolon. But where do we see the Asir Se'efa is included? The Asir Se'efa is not described there in Parshas Tetzaveh. It's described only later on in Parshas Tzav, and long before the Miluim in Parshas Tzav, the Minchas Chinuch is described near the beginning of Parshas Tzav. The section about the Miluim is the end of that parsha. So where do we see that the Asir Se'efer is essential? So the answer is Asya Zezeh. We have a Gzeder Shavah on the word Zeh. Mi Vizeh Korban Aaron Avon of Ashiach. The pasuk says about the Minchas Chinuch, this is the korban of Aaron and his sons that they should bring the Kohen Hediot the first time he does the Avodah, the Kohen Gadol every day. So we have a Gzeder Shava, since it says Vizeh Hadavar, this is the thing that you should do for them to do the 7 days of Miluim. So it means that you also have to have the Asir Seifa. How do we know that here's another detail that's ma'akiv, even though it doesn't say explicitly in the psukim, reading the parsha, that Moshe had to actually go over there and read the psukim in the Torah that describe what's to be done. So b'pashtus, it means that he would actually read the section of Tetzaveh that describes the instructions. So how do we, and similarly on Yom Kippur, we're going to learn later on in the seventh parak of Or Masechta, that in the middle of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would read from the Sefer Torah the parashiyos that describe the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So how do we know that that's also ma'akev? Talmud Lomar by Yom and Moshe Aleda. Therefore, it says Moshe spoke to the congregation. He says, Zeh Hadavar Ashetziva Hashem. This is the word which Hashem commanded, implying after the Dibur ma'akev, so even the speaking is ma'akev. So if Moshe hadn't gone and lain the section in front of the people, then the Avodah would have been possible. Okay. So the bottom line is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, every detail that it says that by the Miluim is ma'akev, either because it says kocha, and because of the verb, because it says Ushmaut Meshmeres Hashem, or because of Gzeira Shava Pesach, etc., etc. And therefore, that means every detail that it says by the Miluim, whether it says it in Tzaveh or whether it only says it in Tzav, and we're saying the last one is even the reading of the Torah before it is also ma'akev. Okay. Next, still talking about the Miluim. Kate said Hil Bishon. How did Moshe dress the Kohenim by the Miluim? What was the Seder of how he dressed them? Well, I wonder, what do you mean Kate said Hil Bishon? What do you mean how did he dress them? What do we care? My dehava hava. What's done is done. Everything that we were discussing until now is negeya, the Gemara knows, is negeya for the future. For example, if we say that something is ma'akev by the Miluim, then fine, we know it's going to be ma'akev by the Miluim in the future as well. But now, if we're just talking about how Moshe, what order Moshe dressed Aaron and his sons in, what's the difference? So Ella Kate said, Malbishan la'asid lavoi. No, rather we can ask, the question is, how is Moshe going to dress Aaron and his sons in the Bigdei Kohuna in the future? Now, why would they need that? Obviously, they need to put on the clothes of the Kohenim to do the Avodah. Why would Moshe need to dress them? So the idea is not only there's going to be Miluim La'asid Lavoi, but there's a couple of ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is that Ramban says, since they passed away, now they're going to come back by Tchias HaMesim, but it's considered their designation as Kohenim expired, and therefore they need to be redesignated as Kohenim. Therefore, not only does there need to be Miluim, special Korbanos, but there also needs to be a new anointing and a new dressing of them in their clothes of the Kohenim in order to make them Kohenim again, is one way of understanding it that Ramban says. Another way of looking at it, the Avnei Nezer says, based on something the Alter Rebbe says in Torah about the Alter Rebbe says, in earlier times when there was a Mishkan and a Bes Mikdash, the purpose of the Korbanos was to be Mila ourselves, was to make ourselves, to put ourselves on a higher level, Adam Kiyakov Mikem. But La'asid Lavoi, we won't need that. We ourselves will be on a higher level. Then the purpose of Korbanos is going to be strictly in order to be Mila, the animals and the other things of the Gashmiistic world. So based on that, the Avnei Nezer says, in that case, then a new kind of Korbanos, the Korbanos are being brought for a different purpose than they were until now, is going to require that the Kohenim therefore need to be anointed and redressed in their clothes in order to make them Kohenim for that new purpose. So now the question is, in the future, what order is Moshe going to dress Aaron and his sons in? So again, the question is, the Gemara says, still, why do we need to know? When Mashiach comes and there's Tchias HaMesim, then Moshe and Aaron and his sons will come along and we can ask them what the order was. We don't need to figure it out now on the face of it. This is, by the way, that Rebbe used to bring a lot of times in Sichas, the idea that there's going to be a general Tchias HaMesim for the Jewish people collectively, but there's going to be an earlier Tchias HaMesim for the tzaddikim, including Moshe and Aaron and his sons. So therefore, the Gemara is not even mentioning when Mashiach comes. As soon as Moshe and Aaron and his sons come, by that earlier Tchias HaMesim, already then we can ask them what the deal is. Okay, so the Gemara says, you're right. Elakeitzed hilbishan lemisbah kroy. Fine, the question is still how he dressed them, not so much because negei lahalacha, but just we want to, and it's not just, but the fact is we want to be able to understand the psukim properly. So how do we understand? The problem is there seems to be a contradiction between the psukim. In Parshas Tetzaveh, Hashem tells Moshe that you put on the clothes on Aaron and on his sons, and it says you put a belt on Aaron and on his sons, which implies that when it comes to putting on the belt, he put the belt on Aaron and immediately then went and put belts on each of the on each of his sons. That's in Parshas Tetzaveh. On the other hand, in Parshas Tetzaveh, when it describes what he actually did, it just says Vayachgur Oisai Ba'avneit. It says he belted him with a belt, and it continues with the rest of the begodim that he wore. Only then does it mention Aaron's sons. So we have a contradiction. Did Moshe put on Aaron's belt and then immediately put on Nadav's belt and Avihu's belt and so forth, or did he put on Aaron's belt, then the rest of Aaron's begodim, and only then he started on Nadav and Avihu and so forth? So now we need to understand the psukim. So now that's why it's negeya to ask the question. So the sons of Rabbi Chiya, the Gemara in a few places gives their names, Yehuda and Chizkiah, they versus Rabbi Yechanan argue what the order was. Chad Oma Aaron v'achakach Bonav. One says first it was Aaron, then his sons. V'chad Oma Aaron v'vonav. V'vasachas. And the other one says it means Aaron and his sons. V'vasachas. Now what do we mean v'vasachas? You can't dress five people at once. The Gemara will explain soon what we mean v'vasachas. Okay. So Amar Abaye, b'ksonus and mitznefes to kol amalei pligi da Aaron v'achakach bonav. When it comes to the ksonus and the mitznefes, everybody agrees, b'nei Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yechanan, that first Moshe did Aaron and then he did his sons, meaning that we know definitely Moshe put on the Aaron, the ksonus and the mitznefes, and only then did he start with the children. But it doesn't mention the mechnasayim over here, by the way, and we did say that the mechnasayim had to be as well. So Rashi mentions, of course, the Mechnasayim come first before everything else. So therefore, we don't even have to mention it in the Gemara. Tosfos gives a different reason because again, since it doesn't say Mechnasayim in the Pesukim, then therefore the Gemara doesn't have to deal with it over here. A third answer that some Mephoshim give is that they're not going to stand there completely undressed. So they put on the Mechnasayim in private, and then Aaron and then Moshe started with putting the Ksonis and the rest of the clothes on them. Anyway, so Abaya says, so definitely, for example, Moshe put the ksonis and the mitznefes on Aaron, and only then did he put the ksonis and the mitznefes on his children. Because after all, the bain mitzavo, ben rasiya, Aaron kodim, because both in Tetzaveh, when it says the instructions what to do, and in Tzav, when it says what they actually did, Aaron kodim, in both places, it says Aaron first and only then his sons. Ki pligi ba'avnate, the machlokas is about the avnate specifically. Manda Omar Aaron v'achakach bonav, the opinion that says that it was Aaron, that first he did Aaron's belt and then the rest of Aaron's begodim, and only then he did the sons. Dichtiv v'yachgur oisei ba'avnet, because it says he belted him with an avnet. V'hodichtiv v'yachgur oisam avnet, and then a couple of psukim later, it says that he belted them with an avnet, implying that there was something else in between. Whereas if you say that he did them b'vasachas, which the Gemara is going to say soon, means Aaron's avnet, and immediately afterwards they're avnetim, then dichtiv v'chagarta oisam, he focuses on the pasuk in Parashat Tetzaveh where it says that you should belt them, implying one after the other. Well, how is each one going to understand the other one's pasuk? If we say it was b'vasachas, then what are we? The fact is, in Tzav it says that he belted him, and then six psukim later it says that he belted them. The answer is omalach. He's going to tell you that tells you something else, not the order of how they did things, but it teaches you avneta shokoin gadol loy zehu avneta shokoin hedyin. you should know that the Avnet that the Kohen got a war is not the same kind of Avnet as the Kohen had. You have later on in the Perek, we're going to discuss later on in the Masechta, we're going to discuss several times. We know that most of the clothes of the Kohenim Hediot were made out of linen. They were white linen. We know, on the other hand, the Kohen Gadol's clothes were colorful and were made. Some of them were made from shatnez, the choshen, the ephod, etc. What about the avnet? And we know also on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol wore an avnet of exclusively linen. What about the rest of the year of the Kohenim Adyotim? Was their belt the same as the Kohen Gadol's on Yom Kippur, or was it the same as the Kohen Gadol's throughout the year, multicolored and made of tchel, and made of tchelis vagomen, etc.? So this opinion is going to say the reason why in Parshas Tzav it puts them separately, six psukim apart, is to tell you should know it's a different kind of avnet. So it doesn't tell you anything about the order in which he put it on. It's telling you that you should know that there are two different kinds of avnet, and vice versa. The other way around. The other way around, he'll say the pasuk in Parshas Tzav tells us that that he put on them a belt, implying that for all of them it's the same kind of belt. In other words, according to one of them, one pasuk is telling us the order of things, and the other one is telling us the materials. Both of them are saying that, but one is saying that we focus on Parshas Tetzave, where it says he put a belt on both of them, implying that it's the same kind of belt. Later on, but not implying that he put one after the other, but implying that one of them is saying that v'chagarta oisam avnet means that he put one belt on after another. There's nothing else in between. And then when it says later on, when it mentions them separately, it means to tell us that they're two different kinds of belts. And the other one says the other way around, that it says that he says v'chagarta oisam avnet means it's all the same kind of belt. And when it says later that he put them separately, means that he put them separately, there were other things in between. So the Gemara finishes off. So according to that, then why does it say that he belted him separately and then them, and then it says he belted all of them? It means that first he put the belt on Aaron, and only later on, at some later point, on his children. So the question is, how are you able to put on belts on five people at once? The answer was, let's see how to act in. It doesn't mean to put it all at once. It doesn't mean bevasachas. It means one after the other, but in a seder without anything in between. Which means, according to that opinion, he put all the clothes on Aaron, but they put on the mechasayim is already on before, then the ksonis, then the mitznefes. He didn't yet put on the avnet. Then he put on the three begodim on his sons. Then he took the avnetim and started doing one after the other, Aaron, Nadav, Aviru, Elazari, Samar. As opposed to, according to the opinion that it was Aaron va'achakach banav, then it means he finished with Aaron. He put all the begodim on Aaron, including the avnet, and only then he put on all the clothes on Aaron, including the avnet, and only then did he start. On the sons putting on the ksonis, and only after then does he start putting on the clothes on Aaron. So it's not mevasachas, because there's a break between the avnet of the Kohen Gadol. After the avnet of the Kohen Gadol, he's putting on the various other begodim of the Kohen Gadol, and only then starting on the avnet, and only then doing the avnet of the children. Okay, so those are the two different opinions how he dressed them. There are, by the way, there are some of the Mefarshim, the Ritva, and others who say that the Lashon of Rashi is mashma, as though he put on the Avnet, according to the first opinion, he put the Avnet on Aaron last. That's not really possible. The Avnet goes under some of the Begadim, so we would have to say that what he means is that he put on the Avnet on Aaron, then immediately put the Avnetim on the sons, and then continued, then went back to Aaron and put on him the other four Begadim that are special to the Kohen Gadol, the Me'il and the Ephod and so forth.